There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think there's still going to be tremendous demand for the profession. That's what I see. And I think what behooves those of us who've grown up in it and are living through the changes is to remember that there are certain fundamentals that we can't lose sight of. And one of the things that I've made a big talking point, if you will, for myself as I go, and whether it's talking to folks in agencies or talking to my own team or speaking on the industry, is I think there's a missing appreciation for creativity in business.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Marketing Vanguard podcast. I'm Jenny Rooney, and I'm so thrilled to be here today with Marissa Thalberg. Marissa, welcome.
I mean, I couldn't imagine someone I'd rather sit and chat with than you, Jenny.
That is what we're going to do today. We don't have tea or coffee or a drink in front of us, but that's okay. We'll have to save that for another day. But we are at, actually, the Adweek Outlook 2024 event, which happens to be our first live and in-person Outlook. We brought it to New York City this year. It's Adweek's way of basically kicking off the year and our event slate, and really looking about, you know, basically talking about and looking at where we are right now as a marketing community and what we have to look forward to in the year ahead. You actually just spoke on stage, which I'm so excited about. You talked about this balance between brand and performance.
The syntax mattered there in terms of getting rid of the verses in the middle and changing it to an and. But yes,
it really, really did. And it's so it's such a concept that's so core to who you are and what you care about and what you feel very passionate about. You feel very passionate about a lot of things because, Marissa, you're a marketer who has been in this industry in marketing leadership roles for so many years, and you've done so many dynamic things. You're at SeaWorld right now. You're the chief marketing and communications officer there, but you have also had roles at Lowe's before this, Taco Bell, Estee Lauder. Mm-hmm. You've done such extraordinary things as an influential and innovative marketing leader in this industry. Talk a little bit about that. You know, we talk so much about having this word impact. I think people get so sort of obsessed with the concept of the impact. People want to feel like they're making a difference. And I think marketers, more than any other business people, have that passion, that drive. You've actually done it. Can you talk a little bit about, reflect back on sort of your career thus far and where you have garnered your best expertise and why?
There's so many things I want to say to that question because I try to be really honest and authentic about it as opposed to the sort of glossy, packaged up, looking in the rearview mirror and being like, yay. And the reality is I think my journey's been really hard and it's been fraught with fear, risk-taking. The highs have been incredibly high, but the lows have felt low and it's been tumultuous. But I feel like you have to always accrue these experiences because that's what makes life interesting. And that's the only way I believe in which you actually can flex and find the ways in which you can create impact is by challenging yourself. Mm-hmm. The thing that I often say is, and I've been saying this for years in with regards to the risks that I've taken, even predating what you described with the Estee Lauder companies, is that the reason they're called risks, the fine print, they're risky.
Right.
And we glorify in culture, high risk, high reward. The entrepreneur that lived out of their car and is now a billionaire. But, you know, that's not always the story. And so what I've come to understand is having an inclination to take risks also means having to be resilient, roll with the punches, know that things don't always work out the way you can. But I think that impact word is such a great one to seize on, because the end of the day, you're right. That's where I think the gratification comes in. I mean, we all want to be financially successful to provide for our families. You know, there's our industry likes to be very celebratory, and it's easy to get sucked into that. But at the end of the day, when I think about where you really feel that sense of I did something, it's impacting the people on your team and then impacting the work.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's so much complexity to the role, and we don't need to rehash it, but it feels like every week there's a new headline that talks about, you know, and you and I have been in this business long enough to see the cycles that we've gone through around this. Right now, in the conversation that you had here at Outlook, you talked about how you used a word best, and you'll remind me of it in a minute, but just like, you know, business is challenged right now in a way that doesn't afford for a lot of grace and a lot of opportunity for failing fast, even though we love to talk about that concept.
Right.
Impatient, I think, is the word you used. Business is impatient.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, lo and behold, here we are again around headlines with, you know, CMO roles being eliminated. It's not necessary. It's not a business function that's vital. I mean, I know that you and I are tired of that narrative, because I'm going to guess you're tired of the narrative. You know, for people who are coming into this industry, frankly, who are newer to the industry, who aspire to that role, what would you tell them? You know, what do you want them to know about the headline du jour, but also what you've seen happen and the staying power and the relevance, continued relevance of this role and of marketing in general within business?
Well, I think like many things in life, there's some truth to it and some mistruth to it with regards to the sensationalization of our function. It's it's a clickbaity kind of a function for whatever reason. I mean, I just don't know. Are there trade publications that talk about CFOs that wait breathlessly for these changes and report on them? But, you know, the funny thing is we have the pop culture role in the C-suite, so it has that interesting news value. And I can't say that I think there's no truth to what's being written, in that the role is challenged right now in terms of empathy, understanding, support across the C-suite, I think the expectations with regards to what's possible and how the world of marketing has changed are really, really challenging. Conversely, you think about marketing, just marketing. Forget whether you call it chief marketing officer, brand officer, growth officer. I think that's what's getting messed up, is sometimes the role's just changing into a different title and we file that away. It's semantics.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I remember taking our family went to Italy and we went to Pompeii. Have you ever been to Pompeii?
I have not been to Pompeii.
It's incredible.
I bet.
But you know, you go to Pompeii and in this perfectly preserved world that was uncovered from ash, you see unbelievable examples of advertising and marketing. It's just
that.
A reminder that I don't think our profession is going away. It's just, if anything, there's probably a genuine desperation for more understanding of how to practice it today. And that's what's hard.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned earlier this concept of, you know, we all need to make a living. I mean, there's the practical standpoint of it. I know that I think you and I share a passion for the next generation, like the young people who are coming into this. And unfortunately, and I've worked with business schools over the years who say that, you know, students aren't choosing marketing as a profession because they feel it's not the highest paying. So they might be going to business school, but they're opting for accounting or, you know, or finance or things like that. I think that's missing. That's only one. They're missing so out on so much, right? If that's the only sort of analysis that they're doing in terms of choosing it, how are you thinking about using your experience as a call to action? Like you as sort of a case study, a representation of what's possible if you come into business as a marketing leader, and what would you say to that next generation who might be dismissing marketing as a career track because perhaps, you know, they're looking too much at just the financial components of it?
Well, I haven't seen that so much, and I guest teach once or twice a year, three or four times a year at various, you know, at USA Marshall and at Wharton and sometimes virtually. And so I have the chance every year to be in front of this emerging generation of students who are interested in this career, seeing it in my own children. And I jokingly say, aim higher. But of course, I love that they love it. I love that they've seen the ups and downs and still love it. Love the parts that I love, this intersection of business and culture and human psychology. And it's so unique in that regard. And now, of course, the complexity is you do have to add this whole other piece that we didn't really grow up with, which is the data, technology, measurement, digital, all of that is obviously, it just makes it a lot harder to follow the bouncing ball, but it also enables you to be, or forces you to be, a learner, a constant learner and agile. So I don't know. I think there's still going to be tremendous demand for the profession. That's what I see. Yep. And I think what behooves those of us who've grown up in it and are living through the changes is to remember that there are certain fundamentals that we can't lose sight of. And one of the things that I've made a big talking point, if you will, for myself as I go, and whether it's talking to folks in agencies or talking to my own team or speaking on the industry, is I think there's a missing appreciation for creativity in business.
Yeah, totally.
And in a way, marketers are the alphas of that, but they shouldn't be the exclusive owners of it. And if we can build an appreciation in the C-suite for creativity, creativity isn't just art direction and copywriting. Creativity is new ways of solving problems.
Yep.
And I think that would make us all better.
So that's an area that I totally agree with you. So I do think we need to be redefining creativity in business and think about it in all its iterations. And by the way, I think the advertising marketing brand community needs to be rethinking creativity because it's talent, it's teams and teaming and internal org structures, it's processes, it's, you know, creativity comes manifests in all those different ways.
Right.
But to your point, maybe it is the marketers who can help drive that and help businesses think differently about what creativity is and can be and how it can actually drive growth for the businesses.
I completely agree. And in high-performing cultures, corporate cultures, this is opinion of one. It's not grounded in its scientific research. But I have a feeling if there were research done, it would bear it out. Maybe this research does exist. I bet when creativity is a tenant of culture, that's a higher performing organization.
Yeah, would love to see that.
Yeah.
Would love to see that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are here, as I said, in New York City at Adweek's Outlook. As you sort of regard the year ahead, you know, we're in just fascinating times, but it's always fascinating times. You could say that about any era that we're in. And you've certainly led marketing through a bunch. You know, what is it about this year in particular that has most caught your attention? Like, what are you thinking about? You know, it's a political, you know, it's an election year, the Olympics, COPA, as we heard Stephen Wolf Pereira talk about earlier. I mean, there's a lot of really major moments that are going to, frankly, affect marketers or that they need to be thinking about continued economic challenges. And you know, we've talked a lot about doing more with less today, but getting creative about how you accomplish those things. But for you, Marissa, what do you think is going to be the single biggest thing that you really want the marketing community to pay attention to and get ready for this year? It's a big question.
Wow, that's a hard one because it's such a big one. I thought you were starting with, you know, what do you think this year is going to look like? And what's interesting in reflecting on that just a few months ago in 2023, my answer was we're still coming out of this, like, what is the new run rate of business coming out of COVID? And being like in an experiential business now where, of course, you know, theme parks were closed. And so then you have this bump, but then it came back. So what is the new normal? And then you have other businesses, like when I was at Lowe's, that had actually some wonderful tailwind because people were so focused, and then there was a course correction. So
you've been always so good at that too, by the way. I mean, you've always read the winds.
Oh, really? Well, thanks. Sometimes.
Because you've been at businesses that all marketers need to be obviously conscious of that.
Wow.
But especially what you did at Lowe's. I mean, the ways you thought about what was happening more broadly, economically, and how consumers were being affected. And now, obviously, being at a company where theme parks, it's sort of like an interesting indicator of where people's minds are and where their spending habits are.
Yeah.
To your point, how willing they are to get back out and do things. So,
yeah, my favorite thing that I've gotten to do so far in this role was just coming into a business and joining in late spring and then suddenly summer. I mean, on top of all the economic uncertainty, was just crazy weather issues. Well, yeah. Those probably aren't going away. So we rethought about how do you reassure people. We had a basic weather policy that no one really paid attention to, and we rebranded it our weather or not assurance and added heat as a consideration. So, for me, that's I like making those kinds of moves. I'd like to be making a few more in that regard. But I think the big issue for 2024, and maybe we would say this at the start of any year because the future is always unknown. It's always uncertain. We never really know. Mm-hmm. In January of 2020, I mean, think about how naive we were to what was coming just 6 or 8 weeks later. But that said, I just don't think we understand what's really happening right now in terms of the tea leaves of the marketplace. And there are certain things that should make consumers really confident right now. Yeah. And yet the economy still feels weird. And this election year is going to be, I think, extremely traumatic. And you've got global strife, as there often absolutely is. And so I think it's just hard. And then a lot of strife in our industry still about what this role all comes back to. Where am I spending? Where am I not spending? So I think what's going to make this year hard is that we all want to be over a hump, and the hump just keeps growing.
So true.
So I think navigating through that with then all the obvious things that you noticed, I didn't just go right to AI because it's too easy to say that. But of course, how technology plays into this and what kind of disruption is that going to make, and will it be slower than we think until it's really fast? Probably. And that's why, for me, it has to come back to some fundamental tenets of trying to understand what you're about and how do you tell that story.
Yeah. Yep. Couple last quick questions. I'm curious to ask you this one. I do ask this in of all my podcasts. Yes, it will. I mean, selfishly, I played soccer growing up, and so I love to, liken the function to, or leadership to, being on a soccer team, being a player on a soccer team, or any sports team, or any.
Yeah.
But when you think of yourself on that sports team, how are you as a leader? Are you at this? Are you striker trying to score the goals? Are you in an offensive position? Are you midline trying to kind of protect, be the connective tissue between the offense and the defense? Or are you at the back protecting the goal at all costs from competitive onslaught?
My family would laugh because athleticism is not the number one characteristic that would be ascribed to me. My husband teases me because I'm very proud of this trophy I got for eighth grade basketball. And he's like, it wasn't the MVP, Marissa. It was the MIP, the most improved player. Oh, but I was proud to be a MIP. So I guess my real answer is I see myself as the coach.
Love it.
I really do. I see myself as the coach. Yeah. And I love that. I love being the coach because if you're a good coach, Ted Lasso or otherwise, you're a unique cheerleader. And of course, sometimes you want to get out there and play on the field. And I do like to play.
Yeah.
I really do like to play. But I think that's my most honest answer is when I'm leading teams in a way that gives me personal deep satisfaction. And that is truly one of the things I love to do most. It's because I get to be a coach.
And you're a mom and you're a wife and your family, I know, is very important to you. You have two daughters. How do you think about, and I know you did earlier in your career, you had a group.
Executive Moms, which I ran for many, many years. Yes.
What do you want your daughters to learn from you and from your experience?
I hope what they've seen from me, especially in the past few years, is that you go for hard things, but in a world where there are a lot of forces trying to make you conform, trying to make you sell out, that it's important to not just chalk the talk of values in corporations, but you have to live them, mm-hmm. even if that means sometimes trade-offs, mm-hmm. hard decisions. But, you know, are you really going to be the kind of person that you say you are mm-hmm. in terms of authenticity in how you deal with other people, being a truth teller in appropriate ways, standing up for what you believe and fighting for what's right. Mm-hmm. And if my daughters take anything away from me, mm-hmm. that would be my proudest mm-hmm. lesson.
I love that. Last quick question. Who's next at the Marketing Vanguard podcast? We always want to sort of pay it forward. And I ask guests, if you had to recommend one person who you either know really, really, really well, or who you don't know at all, but you admire from afar and you would love to get to know them, who should we interview next for the Marketing Vanguard podcast?
Wow. Okay. Because there's so many people.
I know, it's hard.
That I love thinking about. Well, I'd like to see us continue to support women in this industry based on Executive Moms. I'm going to go there. And to be truthful to the spirit of being a good coach, I want to pick someone that has been a part of my team. So I would say maybe Tracy LaRocca and Jennifer Arnold. And I'll say the two of them because they both worked for me at Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. Jennifer then came with me to Lowe's. And now I'm a little jealous, but the two of them are reunited and they're working together back in LA, Tracy in her first CMO role, Jennifer is head of marketing, building this whole OC vibe, and it's this sort of multi-platform entertainment with the Anaheim Ducks and Honda Center. And we just did a lot of great things at Taco Bell together that I know they're bringing forward. So I wanted to pick names that maybe you don't know as well, and maybe they.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect, because actually with Marketing Vanguard, we always want to have CMOs start to bring their plus one rising stars yeah. into everything we do yeah. to build that access and that yeah. exposure to the brilliant minds like yourself. So, and to see how you're paying it forward, right? Yourself.
That's right.
And how you're bestowing your knowledge on the next generation of leaders. So anyway, Marissa, as always, it's a pleasure. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I look forward to our next conversation.
Always, Jenny. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Vanguard, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Jordan Pratano, executive produced by Al Manarino and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Batwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcasts. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.